Bob, do you think, has anyone ever watched the Grammys and at the end of it said, well, that was really satisfying. That was, I think they got it all right. That was just perfect.
Probably the producers of the Grammys.
Yeah, well, maybe that. But I'm just, you know, watching the internet burn like a tire fire all day today over every little thing that happened at the Grammys. It's just like, I just keep thinking, why do we keep going back every year and watching this? Everyone is always disappointed and furious and just beside themselves and can't make any sense of it.
I simply never do. I never watch.
Yeah.
The only thing I know is I watch Stephen Thompson's tweets all night last night. Both, you know,
it was funny.
He's great at this stuff, but mostly in like, how could they kind of stuff. Sting again.
Yeah. How dare you? I just knew Kendrick Lamar was going to win Album of the Year. And then I started thinking at the 11th hour, I started thinking, you know what, maybe I could see Lorde maybe stealing this away from him. And then it just was nothing that anybody was expecting at all. I like Bruno Mars. I find him very entertaining, but...
That's nice.
But I...
The way I understand it is that you get to vote on the thing that your expertise is on, right,
mm-hmm.
for those specific categories. But everybody gets to vote for Album of the Year, Record of the Year.
Right.
And that's why they're always they're just a mess. You told me a long time ago the definition of insanity, which is?
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Right. So yeah, there you go. So
every time you tune into the Grammys, you should not be expecting.
Right. Rodney Carmichael wrote a great piece today, and I just took him aside and said, just stop watching it because it's just going to be the same every year.
He has a great piece people should check out. It's called Same Old Rap, The Grammys Race Toward Irrelevance, which is a genius headline.
It really is.
Should we talk about some artists who weren't mentioned at the Grammys this year?
Which would be most of the records that I
probably all
like,
of mine,
yes.
too. I can start off with something that you actually turned me on to, an artist named Grace Vanderkoon. Do you remember her?
Yeah.
You sent me a link that just, you'd like this. And I listened. And I was like, yeah, you know me very well. This is a rock guitarist and singer. She's from Wilmington, Delaware. Just gritty, loud, fast music. She's got this debut record coming out later this year called Reveries. The first song she released from Reveries is called Worry, and she described it as an anthem for overthinkers. And I've got a second song I want to play called Bad Habits. So she's clearly working through some things.
Sounds like she might be helping you work through some stuff.
Yeah, and
here.
Some bad habits. Well, this is a very cathartic cut. The song I want to play, Bad Habits, from Grace Vanderkoon.
Bad habits are coming again.
You're going to have that really cranked up loud when you drive down the road with your kids, aren't you?
Yeah, well, absolutely. My kids love this music.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's a little punk, a little grunge, a little catchy. It's just like the perfect combination of all those things that lands right in my sweet spot. You called me you said I'm a cheap date one time. And every time I hear music like this, I think, yeah, I guess I am a pretty cheap date. I'm pretty much a sucker for this. So Grace Van Der Kung says that Bad Habits is just as you would expect. It's about sliding backwards into old behaviors, allowing other people to control your happiness. So it's a very personal record. I mean, it doesn't sound particularly intimate when you listen to it. It's a lot louder than you might think. But she does work through a lot on this. The record Reveries is out February 23rd on Egg Hunt Records. Egg Hunt Records. I love the name of that label.
A name that I love is my favorite band name, maybe, is Let's Eat Grandma.
Oh, right. Without the comma with the comma?
The point is it's without a comma.
Right.
It's the grammatical joke. Yeah. And as someone who is a constant abuser and misuser of commas, it's even more perfect for me. So Let's Eat Grandma is the music of Rosa Walton and Jenny Hollingworth. They're two teens. They've made music since they were little kids. And they make music that has a sense of wonder and a sense of playfulness. A little less so on the new single I'm going to play for you. It's called Hot Pink. This song is about the two of them thinking about gender. But I got a note from Leg, L-E-G, Let's Eat Grandma.
Right.
And it said that Hot Pink is about the misconceptions of femininity and masculinity and the power of embracing both of them. And it's about self-expression and appreciation for an underrated color. I'm not exactly sure what that means. And I've read this a handful of times and listened to the song, but I'll plant that in your head as we listen to the new song by Let's Eat Grandma. Ready for Hot Pink?
Cause I don't know what to say with you. Fill my head with shame, cause you need someone to blame. I'm just an object of disdain to you. I'm only 17. I don't know what you mean by my tongue. Now that's your cue. Bring me down. Redirect your gaze, cause that's your middle name. All the same, kill me now. I'm such a drama queen. You've got something up your sleeve, don't you? Oh. Oh. Wait a minute. Pink.
I love how monstrous that drop is when that kid, it just gets so big. And it kind of reminded me almost of Sleigh Bells.
I hear that.
The band Sleigh Bells.
Yeah.
Especially that big burst, that big drop like that.
But then there's the playfulness that happens in there too.
Yeah.
Oh, is that you?
Yeah. It was very surprising and disarming.
Right. Or just before the drop is the little hesitation. Great. That's Let's Eat Grandma, and Hot Pink is a song.
I'm looking forward. They've got a new record coming out this year. They're working on.
We anticipate a new record coming up. We have nothing we can officially say, but boy.
You mentioned the thing that we did with them at South by Southwest. They played in this vintage Airstream. It was just beautiful, and the sound. And it was. We recorded it at, I don't know, 1 or 2 in the morning.
It was after our big. We had 5 bands on stage that night.
Yeah.
At Stubbs.
Yeah.
We went to the backyard where I thought I was going to film a little what we call South by Lullaby. It was too noisy back there. And there was, sitting in the woods, was this Airstream trailer, which I thought we'd open it up and it would just be just trashed.
No.
And it was elegant and beautiful.
I wanted to move in.
Yeah.
And the sound was great in there too.
Yeah.
With them. That's online. People should check that out. Let's completely change gears and go to Jose Gonzalez from Sweden. Jose Gonzalez, he very quietly dropped this EP last Friday, you know, sort of unannounced.
I haven't heard it yet.
And
I'm excited.
It's really beautiful. And it's a batch of songs that he recorded with a band called The Bright Lights at a studio in Gothenburg in Sweden. In fact, the EP is called Jose Gonzalez and the Bright Lights at the Svenska Gramophone Studio, which is where he recorded it. The song I want to play from it, it's just 4 tracks, but the song I want to play is one he actually wrote in 2007 when he was working on the album In Our Nature, and he recorded it in the same studio space. And it is called Killing for Love, and we can talk a bit more about it after we hear it, Killing for Love.
Killing for love.
incredibly amped up from the original very laid-back version that's on his 2007 record, right?
And this version he recorded anew with the band The Bright Lights, and one of four tracks on this new EP. He says at the time he wrote it, and I'm quoting Jose Gonzalez here, he says, it was a reaction to the weirdness of some people falling in love with a particular idea or a historical character. Love is powerful, so powerful that it can bring out the worst in us. We should choose our loves wisely. I mean, I think what he's saying there in part is that love can make you do stupid, crazy stuff. And the more you want something, the more you're willing to do to get it. And the more you're willing to do, the more stupid you can get. So choose wisely. The EP is out now. Should we take a short break?
Sure.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ELS Studio, a premium audio experience for the open road. With ELS Studio Premium Audio, every musical note you hear plays like a unique combination of artistry, emotion, and engineering. Developed with 8-time Grammy Award-winning recording engineer Elliot Shiner, it immerses the listener in studio-like sound, the way the artist intended it to be heard. ELS Studio Premium Audio, precision-crafted audio performance exclusively from Acura.
They sending
that's
us that car?
Yeah, they say for the open road, and I think it's like studio, like it's for if you want to record your album while you're driving down the road.
I don't think then, so. I have something for you that's unsettling. You okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing you know I am, I'm a lover of music that sets a tone, and I love it when the sounds make the song, but the words support the sounds. Often people have a sound and then write words, and they don't quite hold each other up. A few years ago, I featured an artist, Many Rooms. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's an EP. Brianna Hunt is the name of the artist. She put out an EP called Hollow Body. And now we have, finally, after a handful of years, her debut. It's called There Is a Presence Here. And it's unsettling in the way she builds her song structures. You expect from these 4-minute songs that we often get, or 3-minute something songs, a verse and a chorus, and maybe a bridge and a verse and a chorus. Doesn't happen here. And the thing is, she's writing about dealing with her depression, her lack of self-confidence. And because of the way the song structure works and the words work, for the subject matter, it really makes you feel that unsettled feeling that that she has about her own self, and it's really quite beautiful. You also get a sense of time floating, and because you don't have the normal markers of verse, chorus, and stuff. Anyway, I'm gonna play this song. It's called "Which Is to Say Everything," is the name of the song.
Which is to say everything.
It is. I just said it. This is Many Rooms.
Sweet. They're the voice
That is just breathtaking, astonishing. I've got to get this record right now. Many rooms.
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole, when you listen to a whole album of this with the tonalities and, I mean, that breathy voice.
The way she was inhale, it reminded me of Peter Silberman of the Antlers on that the Hospice record.
Right.
There was, early on, there's a cut on that record where I thought it was a sound effect. It almost sounded like seagulls or something screeching or crows. And I realized that's him inhaling. Just
proximity to the mic. And Many Rooms is the artist. This song is called Which Is to Say Everything. The album comes out April 13th on Other People Records.
Other People or Peoples?
Other People. Record. Other People Records.
So we just found out that Y-Oak has a new record coming out this year. They just made the official announcement. But actually last week, Jen Wassner and Andy Stack, the members of Y-Oak, they told all of their fans that, like they had a mailing list, they sent out postcards to their fans, handwritten postcards that each of them wrote out by hand and mailed using snail mail. And it wasn't, hey, we've got a new record coming yet. They were all cryptic, like, see you soon, Andy, or, you know, whoever it was that it was addressed to. And then, none of them were the same. They were all different. But if you piece them together collectively, there were enough hints and cryptic references and little details that basically they ended up announcing, hey, we've got this new record coming. It's called The Louder I Call, The Faster It Runs. It's coming in the spring, and they just released the title track. It's just so glorious. It's just this pulsing, exuberant. It's majestic at times, some great atmospheric, some great guitar noise, everything that I love about Y-Oak. The Louder I Call, The Faster It Runs, the title track from their new record. Let's give it a listen.
The louder I call, the faster it ends.
Y-Oak, this band just sends me. I just love this band so much, Y-Oak.
I mean, I've gone through, like, lots of transformation in the sound where, first of all, Andy, the drummer, is the greatest one-handed drummer.
He's doing everything at the
same
time.
With the other
time.
Hand
yeah.
on the keyboards.
Yeah.
And then more recently, Jen Wassner has picked up and the guitar is front and center. I like the way they shift and their sounds.
Well, so they're originally from Baltimore, right? So, Jen Wassner's now, she now lives in Durham in North Carolina, and Andy Stack is in Marfa, Texas. And so the way they made this record together is they'd fly to each other's house for maybe a few days or up to a week at a time. And so they didn't really have a lot of time to mess around with this. They really had to crank it out and be efficient. And they said that it led to a lot less second guessing, a lot less hesitation. And it also, I think you can hear in this song, a little more urgency in the music as well. The Louder I Call, the Faster It Runs, that was the title track, a song that seems to be, if you dig into the lyrics, it seems to be in part a lament about lost youth and innocence, you know, the innocence of youth, but also maybe a rallying cry of sorts to not waste time and not wait to fight for the things that matter most in your life and in this world. Y-Oak, the Louder I Call, the Faster It Runs is out April 6th on Merge, out this spring. We're already talking about spring releases.
It gets me thinking about South by Southwest, which we mentioned on Let's Eat Grandma, right? And it's coming up
rapidly.
It's one of my favorite times to discover new music. I discovered our next artist there. Her name is Seb DeLisa. I saw her in 2016.
I remember you talking
just
about
an extraordinary voice. She has a way of mixing the organic and electronic, which is one of my very favorite things. It really brings out the best of both worlds. Seb DeLisa, I wrote to ask her what this new song that she's putting out. She put out an album back in April, the album called Eyes On. And now she has just this new song. It's called Soul Sinkable. It's all we know is just a song. It's being released on the a day of a blue moon solar eclipse. Not a coincidence.
Of course.
Totally designed to come out that day, because I'm going to read you this description. This is the second description today that I've gotten that is mystical in many ways. It's certainly a little hard to understand. She refers to herself in the third person here as I read this quote that she just wrote to me. She said, "These are glimpses," talking about the song, "these are glimpses of her supernatural realm, where she is a vessel," she's talking about herself, "with healing songs to either lift curses or to move on to the next life, collecting masks as memento in the process. Her guidance comes from the collected, ultimately channeling the supreme self." You got that?
Well, I was just going to say, let's put that whole quote up on our website, npr.org/allsongs, and people can read through it a few times and try to make sense of it.
I madly love her sound, so you want to go out on Seb DeLisa?
Yeah, let's do that.
The song is called Soul Sinkable. Take care, Mr. Hilton.
Thanks, Bob.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.